Turn in your Bibles to Mark 11, Mark chapter 11. We've been talking about prayer last couple of times we've been together on Wednesdays, and so I wanted to continue that tonight. We talked about spiritual warfare a couple of weeks ago before the holidays and taking the land. Tonight we want to talk about personal prayer and so very important that we communicate with God on a regular basis. How many can say amen?
Amen.
Because if we're lost contact with God, we're not sure what's going on. And if you've ever seen anybody that doesn't know where they're at and where they're going, it can be very confusing. You know, have you ever seen anybody lost and they're asking directions? And they don't have any idea where they're at, especially when you're... I get lost in Walmart, for Pete's sakes. I don't know where anything's at. And I'm the kind of guy that likes to go right in. I want to know where it's at, what aisle it's at. I so often go shopping for Terry, and I'll call her on the phone. Where's this stuff supposed to be? But when we know, when we know what God wants from our life personally, and we know which direction we're going, we have confidence and boldness in Him. That can only come with constant communication, not sporadic. You know, if the only time we reached each other was when we were in trouble, we'd never talk. Or vice versa. We'd talk all the time because we're always in trouble. But it's important that we talk to the Father. Let's pray. Father, thank you this evening, God. Thank you for your word. Lord, open it to us tonight, Lord. Father, show us, oh God, exactly what you want us to see from your word tonight, Father. We thank you for prayer. We thank you that you open up communication with your children, not so that we could carry it around as a badge of honor, not so we could say we communicate with the Creator, but so that, Father, you could get things done through us. God, you chose to work through your church. And, Father, that's us. That's individuals. Well, Lord, we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark 11, 24. Let's begin in verse 22. Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Man, what a statement. Every time I read that, I'm challenged. Am I the only one that's ever prayed and nothing happens? You wonder, I thought it was supposed to happen. This says it's supposed to happen. So either it's not true or we're doing something wrong. And one of the things we do wrong is we get impatient. We want it to happen right away, instantaneous. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But what we have to have faith in, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's a promise from God's Word. See, we are commanded to pray, and yet we sometimes feel as if the effectiveness of our prayers is wanting. Let me assure you that nothing could be further from the truth. God set up the communication. God set it up this way. So how many know God didn't set something up that needs work or that needs improvement? Communication with God is so very important. He set it up. He said, when you pray, he'd say, if you pray, but when you pray, time and time again, he said, when you pray. And then he says, anyone that asks, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, it will be done. From a human standpoint, our prayers are but a teaspoon of water in an ocean of words. Sometimes we feel like, God, you have so many people that are talking to you, so many people that are asking you things, so many people that have requirements. God, can you hear my prayer? Let me assure you, he can. He answers our prayer individually. See, we think, boy, if we can corporately pray, if we can get somebody to agree with us in prayer. You always have the Holy Spirit and Jesus agreeing with you in prayer. Even if you're praying by yourself, you're praying with at least three in agreement. Did you ever think about that? When you're praying and you're praying in the will of God, Jesus is agreeing with you. And I don't know about you, but I don't want anybody agreeing with me more than I do Jesus. If I'm praying and I'm saying, Jesus, I'm saying to the Father, Father, I'm asking you for this, and Jesus is agreeing with me in prayer, and the Holy Spirit is praying through me, I've got something. I've got something. Now, whether or not I get another human being to agree with me or not is moot. I've already got three in agreement. I'm a winner. But when that comes to pass, see, in heaven, those words spoken as a petition to God Almighty is like a decree that moves the Father's heart. He set this thing up. And so when we pray, God begins to move and put things in motion to answer our prayer. And although God is not slack concerning His promises, it may take some time. I'm thinking right now of Daniel. That's a good example. Daniel prayed, and God and the angel, when the angel finally got there, said, "You prayed 21 days ago. As soon as you prayed, I was sent. As soon as your prayer came out of your mouth, I was sent. But it took me some time because I had to fight principalities and powers over this nation to get here." And so we don't know. We just pray. But what happens is, in this passage of prayer in Mark 11, he says, if you ask without doubting, and that's the key, see? Because the longer the time elapses between the prayer and the answer to prayer, all kinds of doubt and unbelief can come in. God doesn't care. God's not going to answer my prayer. It's not important. I'm not important. The enemy will come in with all kinds of things to get us to negate that prayer by speaking words of doubt and unbelief. Three action words that our Lord uses here in Mark 11. Number one, believe. Now, belief cannot be in the passive sense. It must have action behind it. If I believe something, I'm going to act on it. If you believe, you'll pray like you believe. Come on, somebody. If we believe, we don't ask God and say, you know, God, if it be your will. No, that's not asking, believing. You're asking, kind of testing the waters. God, am I praying right? Anybody there? God, are you sure I'm doing this right? No, we ask believing. We already have the Father's heart. Now, if you're asking nonsensical things, if you're asking things that you know God's not going to answer in prayer, it's a waste of time anyway. But let's presuppose that we're asking in His will. Believe is pistyoho, to have faith in, upon, or with respect to a person or thing. By implication, to entrust, especially to entrust one's spiritual being to Jesus Christ. So we believe. We believe in your trust is not in the in your words, but in Christ who hears and acts upon those words. Your trust is not in the way we ask, because sometimes we just ask and we're desperate. It doesn't make any sense. Sometimes we just cry out, God help, or God answer this prayer, or God, I know it's not flamboyant, not in King James English, but just can you do it, Lord, please? And you're believing that your prayers are being heard. Number two is receiving, to reach out and take hold of what we know to be His will. Receiving is lambano, to take, to get hold of. It implies a violent act to seize or to remove. And that's where a lot of Christians lose their sight of what prayer is. And let me remind you that prayer is part of the armor. We think about breastplates and swords and all kinds of shields. They're part of the armor. But how many know you can't stop reading there? It says that prayer with all prayer and supplication. So we're praying. That's war. When we pray, to receive is to take hold with a violent act. To say, this is my promise is coming from God and I hold it to myself. Walking in the promises before they are manifest. Saying, God, I know you're going to answer this prayer. I'm done praying it. I'm going to thank you for it. Amen. You know, that whole passage that says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find. I get that. I get that we're supposed to be repetitive in those things. But we're not repetitive at taking another run at it, hoping that God will answer it. No, we're continually asking with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, because we know God is going to answer that prayer. Walking in the promises before they're manifest. Living a life of forgiveness will give us a life of favor. We need to make sure that when we go to prayer, our life is okay. We're not holding any grudges, holding anything against anyone. We have a pure heart before God that gives us pure words with God. We're not having to ask and say, don't look there. We're clean before the Lord and we're asking as His child. So it's power with God. We need to understand that when we go to prayer, you individually, don't worry about, you know, let's call the prayer line. Let's have somebody that's got closer. Maybe the prayer line is closer to God. No, you're close to God. If you're a child of God, your prayers are as powerful as anyone on this earth. Amen. Come on, somebody. And if we recognize the powerful weapon behind that, we would more readily attack that because we have power with God. Secondly, we have power from God. Now, when God begins to answer and we're grabbing this prayer, Romans 8:26, if you'll turn over there, Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. How many saints do we have here tonight? Are you an ain't or a saint? Okay, if you're a saint, then you have these promises. The Spirit of God will pray through you. We don't take advantage of praying in the Spirit enough. We really don't. We kind of pray in the Spirit. Sometimes we wear it as a badge of honor. Sometimes we do it when it's convenient. But it's a spiritual weapon. We pray in the Spirit. We've bypassed our mind and we're connecting directly with God through the Holy Spirit. And God is bound to answer that prayer. Amen? The Spirit helps, makes intercession for us. Now, I've said this before, but every time when I pray, I think about the Holy Spirit praying through me. And I know that Jesus is in total agreement with the Holy Spirit. I never have to question that. I never have to say, Jesus, are you and the Holy Spirit in sync today? They're not out of sync. They haven't argued. They're not having a bad day. They're in complete agreement. And so when the Holy Spirit is praying through me, I already know that Jesus is agreeing with me. And if Jesus and the Holy Spirit are agreeing with me, Father God is going to answer that prayer. All question, all doubt is now left. Now I'm praying boldly. Now I'm grabbing this thing. And now God is answering. See, the Spirit helps us. He is called the Helper in John 14:26. He's a paraclete. He's an advocate. One who speaks in our defense. He's praying through us, and Jesus is praying with us. Man, what a combination. If you are getting stronger in the area of self-reliance in prayer, you're going in the wrong direction. We have to rely on Jesus Christ. We have to rely on the Holy Ghost. God, I'm praying. I know what I need to pray. I'm releasing my faith. Now I need your power. And great empowerment comes from God. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. I need God. I'm never going to get to a place of prayer where I can just say, God, take a break. Holy Spirit, take a break. I know what the Father's will is, so I'll just cry out to God. No, we're praying in the power of the Spirit. Because we do not know sometimes. Most of the time, we have no idea. We don't have a clue without God. How many have ever felt like that? You just say, I don't have a clue. God, I need you. And the secret is, he says, the secret to the spiritual life is we are clueless without Him. And if we ever get to the place where we know without Him, we're in trouble. People say, I'm getting stronger. Yes, I understand. I get that you're stronger. But in our weakness is His strength. We must decrease, He must increase. Not knowing is a good thing. When we know, we talk and we're open for attack. You know, when you get the answer to the question you've had, get the answer, sometimes you just want to blast it out. Well, how many know the enemy is waiting for you to blast that answer out? And he'll come in and do everything he can to sideswipe you, to cut off your communication with God and cause that thing to crash and burn. But sometimes we just need to pray and then keep our mouth shut. Prayer in its purest sense is agreement with heaven that already has the answer to your prayer. Come on, somebody. Pray as if heaven already has, and they do. They already have the victory. Heaven has already got the answer. Our words are insufficient because they have already concluded the matter. Pockmarked with doubt, unbelief, and finalities that do not exist. We start to doubt. We start to pray and say, I wonder. Stop wondering. Train yourself to keep your mouth shut. You can have the thoughts. The thoughts are the battlefield. When the thoughts start, I'm not any good. God's not going to answer prayer. He's not going to take care of it before you open this troublemaker. Because when we open and we begin to speak, we might as well have wasted our time playing cards instead of praying. Because we negate everything that we've done. See? Romans 12:12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving hospitality. So what it says? It says continuing steadfastly. That word steadfastly is to persevere, be constantly diligent, or to attend assiduously all the exercises, or to a person to adhere closely, continually, continue in, wait on continually. What's it mean? What's that say? In the English, it means to constantly pray. Constantly pray. That means that all, every second we're communicating with God that we have sin. You say, well, that's kind of religious. No, it's not religious. It's Christian life. It's Christian life to have communication with the closest one that'll ever be close to you, ever. He'll never leave or forsake you. And so it doesn't need to be starting, our Father who art in heaven. We're communicating with God all the time. Talking to Him as we talk to a friend. And expecting answers, expecting direction, expecting power, expecting those things. Because we're steadfast in prayer. It says, continuing steadfastly, always and forever. The types of prayer may vary, but we are commanded to live a life of prayer. A continual prayer is immersed in godly character. It's immersed in godly character. And let me tell you, you'll save yourself a whole lot of heartache if you're communicating with God all the time. He'll keep you out of trouble. How many have gotten in trouble and say, whoops, I need to pray? Ask forgiveness. God, I got myself in a mess. Can you forgive me? Of course He can forgive you. But God's intent is that you don't get in that mess. He wants to guide us around the mud puddles of life. Then in Colossians 4, turn to Colossians chapter 4. I love Colossians, a good book. Colossians chapter 4. I love it. It's a small statement, but it's a statement that really hits home. Colossians 4 verse 2. Colossians 4 verse 2. Says continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. So that word earnestly is to keep awake, to watch, be vigilant, and to stay awake. Be vigilant in prayer. Prayer is not an accident. Prayer is something that we do on purpose. It's a lifestyle. It's not when things get bad or when we eat a meal or when things like that, we get earnest in prayer. That's just a playhouse prayer. But somebody that's continually and earnestly in prayer is someone that's vigilant, sticking to it, praying, knowing that that's where we get our power. That's where we get our identity. That's where we get our purpose. And that's where we get our answers, in prayer. Be awake and aware of what is around you at all times. A sad thing is when a Christian is attacked, surprise attack. I just figure when I wake up in the morning that the enemy is out to get me. Is that all right? I just figure that the enemy is out to attack me because he didn't want me to be successful. And so I get ready for violent prayers. The enemy starts messing with me, I rebuke him. Why? Because I have the authority to do so. I don't have to ask. I don't have to ask, is this the right day? Is this the right time? Should I say it now, God? At all times, I have authority over the devil and I have constant communication with the Father. Now, I don't know why. I have asked the Father. Maybe you've asked Him and you got an answer. If you got an answer, come talk to me. I don't know why God, you know, why the enemy is allowed to attack me all the time. God, can you just put the enemy away from me so I never have to face him again? God says, yeah, I'll answer that question and come to heaven. When you die, you won't have to fight anymore. No, I got some work for you to do here. While you're here, we pray to the Father and we do warfare against the enemy. Remember, when we're praying to the Father, we're asking things, we're supplicating, we're praying for our loved ones, and we're praying for this. We're facing the Father. We speak to the enemy, turn away from the throne and rebuke the enemy in Jesus' name. Standing in the authority of God and rebuking the enemy. We don't ask the Father to rebuke the enemy. He's already rebuked the enemy. Trust me, the enemy's not stupid enough to attack the Father. But he'll attack us all the time. Amen? And so we have that authority in Christ. And one of the things you need to understand is you have the authority. That's you individually have the authority to attack the enemy. When you speak, the enemy trembles. Because you're speaking as a child of God. You've got complete authority over him. And then it ends, this sentence is really, there's so much in here. Man, I could just preach 6 months on this. Just this, but it says, continue earnest in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. So that's something that my kids, when they were teenagers, got this down. They asked and they had their hand out at the same time. God, Dad, can I have the keys to the car? Dad, can I have 20 bucks? They're asking with thanksgiving. They're already thanking me. Dad, can I use the car? Thank you. Have you get it out of my mouth yet? No. See, no. No, you can't use the car. That's the way, but we're welcome to do that, see? We find that that's kind of, if you ask somebody a question and you thank them right away, you didn't even give them a chance. If you ask me a question, give me a chance to say yes or no. But we're welcome to do that to the Father. We ask and thank him at the same time because he wants to answer our prayer. Come on, somebody. We need to get to another level, especially with all the work that's ahead of us. I mean, we're behind the eight ball. We've dug trenches. We're entrenched. The church is in defense mode. But when we go on the offense, we need to know who we are in Christ. We need to know that these are prayers that are answered. We have the authority in Christ. And when we ask, we thank and receive. Boldly and violently receiving that prayer to us. See? Amen? And that gives us boldness and confidence to stand against the enemy and to rescue those who are perishing. So this thanksgiving is gratitude, actively grateful language to God as an act of worship, thankfulness, and the giving of thanks. Woo-hoo! Man, God, I'm so sure that you love me and that you're answering my prayer. Thank you, God. God, I'm claiming my children to be serving you, my grandchildren to be serving you. Thank you that you're filling them with your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you're saving them and rescuing them. And begin to thank instead of asking as if maybe he's not going to do it. See, then our prayers are filled with doubt. God, I'm praying this prayer, but in the back of my mind, I really don't think it's going to work. I'm not so sure, God, that you're on the ball today. Let's not forget who we're communicating with, the King of the universe. It's just, I don't know about you, but it just really excites me for me to understand that when I go to the Father, he wants to hear my prayer and he wants to answer it. Amen. And he welcomes me to ask and to thank at the same time. I like that. Sure, sometimes we get no to prayers, but that no is turned to a yes somewhere else. He's saying no one place so he can give yes to another. Come on, somebody. That shouldn't deter us from prayer. It should cause us to pray all the more because he saves us out of a bunch of messes. Ephesians 6:18. This is what I talked about a little while ago. Ephesians 6:18. See, we get all, especially men, when we read this, the whole armor of God. Man, I'm dressed in the armor. I got the righteousness and I got the peace and I got the truth and I've got the sword of the Spirit. Don't mess with me. I got the sword of the Spirit. Then it says, 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end. To what end? Always praying. With all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. That's the biggest part of the armor that we miss. Prayer is usually the tag on everything else. Oh man, you call me to warfare. I'll do war. I'll do warfare. I'll rebuke the enemy. I like to kick the enemy's teeth in. But when that's done, God asks me to pray and supplicate. And to pray people into the kingdom and to pray for answers and thank him. That's work. Come on. Are you there tonight? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. 3 points. Praying always. There it is again. That readiness and posture of prayer that makes champions. Saying, I'm ready to pray. God, you can count on me. I'm going to pray at all times in every place, knowing that you are excited to answer prayer. And then it says, we're praying always with all prayer and supplication. That supplication is deasis, and it's a violent kind of prayer. We Christians don't get angry enough. Or we get angry at the wrong thing. Who's going to get angry at a guy, let's just pick on ISIS for a minute. Who's going to get angry at Muslims and part of ISIS? They're blind, deaf, and dumb. They're following their father, the devil. We need to pray that their eyes be open. There's a film, if you get Amazon or you have Netflix, look it up. I don't know if it's on Netflix, but it's on Amazon. It's called Father of Lights. And it's about Muslims getting saved. They're all over the world, but Muslims are getting, part of it is Muslims coming to Christ, getting visions. Oh, one guy, I'll just tell you one story. One guy from Africa, since he got saved when he was 12 years old, he hears the audible voice of God every day. And God tells him what he's going to do that day. So they went to film him. They wanted to film him. How many have seen the movie The Holy Ghost? Holy Ghost. Have you seen that? They wanted to film him for that movie. And if you haven't seen that movie, you need to see that too. It's a documentary on the moving of the Holy Spirit all over the world. And he said, no, God won't allow me. Well, this time when they did this film, he said, okay, God will allow. So they went with him, and he's just kind of walking around. He says, God told me to go to this obscure village somewhere. They call him the human GPS because he just walks around, and God says, turn left, and he turns left. And he said, I'm going to meet somebody today with an orange garb on. He has an orange turban and a long white beard. And so they walked around for hours looking for this guy. And when they finally, there he was in the crowd. He goes, there he is over there. And went over to talk to him. Ended up that it was a Hindu, some kind of a Hindu leader. Yeah. And he had been a leader in a temple for years. And immediately he started talking to him in a crowd gather. He said, no, I want to go over to the side. He went over to the side and he started talking. He said, I saw you in a vision. And I knew you were going to come and talk to me. You're the person that I saw in the vision. And ended up talking to him and he received Jesus Christ. Powerful stuff. Say, it's the violent kind of prayer. We need to get violent against the things in the spirit that are making these people deaf and dumb. They're actually taking human beings that think they're going to get somewhere by cutting people up and raping women and burning villages. And well, how do you know that's right from the pit of hell? Don't blame a religion. That's a set of rules and regulations or a set of beliefs. Blame the devil. The devil's behind that thing. And they need salvation just like anyone else. But it's a violent kind of prayer. It's coming against the enemy, getting angry, angrier than you've ever been at anything, and taking it out in prayer. Not in violence, not in burning, not in pillaging, but in dominant praying. See, we pray with dominance. We pray with an end in mind. When we pray, we know we're going to win. When we pray, we know we're going to defeat the enemy. It's no question. And that gives us authority and boldness. At the same time, we're resting and we're counting on Christ leading us. He's in agreement with us. At the same time, He decides that our prayers are going to change things. As a matter of fact, He said, you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it's going to be done. Man, what power that is. So it says in supplication, being watchful. Watchful, while many claim to be watchmen, not many truly watch. Being watchful is to be watchful for the hand of God and also for the wiles of the devil. Your sphere of influence is powerful and commanding. You take authority where you go. I just made up my mind. My wife and I have been praying this for a long time. We make up our minds. When Terry goes to work over at the hospital and she walks in there, she has authority. Come on, somebody. When she walks in there, she has authority. She has authority over everything and everything that's going on there and all the spirits that are in hospitals, which there's plenty of them. And we just made up our mind, wherever I'm going, I'm not going to be intimidated. I'm not going to take a back seat. I have the authority and the power of Almighty God. Amen. Being watchful with all perseverance. Perseverance is staying power. Be persistent. Don't give up. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. Because you know you got the answer to prayer. It's just a matter of time. Come on, somebody. Don't you want to be like Elijah? Okay, don't rain. It doesn't rain. Elijah knew something. you ever read that place? I love it. In Elijah, I don't like anybody dying, but in Elijah, and he's sitting on a mountain, they come to get him. They said, the king wants to see you. And he goes, they sent 50 and a captain. You know the story. And the captain says, hey, Elijah, come down. The king wants to see you. He said, if I be a man of God. He said, hey, man of God, come down. He said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down out of the sky and burn you up. Go on. Send somebody else. Captain and 50. Hey, man of God, king wants to see you. He said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down out of the sky. Go on. Third guy is going, excuse me, sir. The power of God it should be evident in our lives. Now, we don't want anybody to die, but we want spirits to go. We want demonic hosts to go, see? We not only want them to go, they have to go. So, be persistent. Then, lastly, and well, a couple more, but Philippians 4:6. Turn to Philippians 4:6. And this is really where we're at. I've never seen such a society that's so on edge about everything. Oh, we have the Thanksgiving Day parade. Cities are going to blow up. Let's call the militia out. Come on, somebody. We're so afraid. What are we afraid about? We're afraid because we know we're not in right standing with God. This nation knows it's not right standing with God, so fear is operating the whole nation. We operate under a spirit of fear. Come on, somebody. We've made... If God calls you to be a weatherman, I'll pray for you. That's just one example. I mean, a weatherman, where else can you go lie every day and get paid good money for it? Come on, somebody. Every time there's a little bit of rain, I'm saying, well, it might rain, it might flood, it might do this, the tornadoes, the hurricanes, the snow, the thing, the El Nino, and man, all I gotta do for the weather is walk outside. Walk outside and look. Where did we go? I'm an old guy now, but when I was a kid, we used to go out. We knew the clouds. And you could feel it in the air. It's going to snow. But we're operating in fear. We don't need to operate in fear. Philippians 4:6, watch what it says. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There it is again. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Living an anxiety-free life. To be anxious is to be prone to mistakes. If you're fearful, you're prone to mistakes. If you're fearful, you're going to mess up. Don't be fear. Don't be guided by fear, because fear has no place in me. You know how I know that? The scripture says it. God has not given me fear. He's not given me fear. He's given me love, power, dunamis, agapeo, dunamis, and a disciplined mind. Means I have the mind of Christ. Means I'm not fearful. I'm not anxious. I'm not anxious. I don't get anxious. Before I got saved, I used to get anxious about everything. Scared to death of everything. I kind of inherited it. It came honestly to me. I was scared of everything. I'd worry about everything. I'd be up all night worrying about stuff that was never going to come to pass. And when I got saved, the Holy Spirit began to minister to me. I said, I like this. Anxiety free. Don't be putting yourself in a place where you hear the wrong thing. Because people have twisted the English language enough now. And so there's so many experts out there. Experts in parentheses. You can trust this report. If you eat this food, you'll die by December. You can trust this report. If you wear this kind of clothing, I mean, come on. Where are these things coming from? It's the enemy, because he's the prince of power of the air, and he's taking over society. We hear the wrong thing. I don't listen to that stuff. I listen to news when I can read it, and if I want to hear a report, I listen to just a little bit. I'm turning it off, because I don't want to hear all their talking heads, armchair quarterbacks. I want to hear God. Yeah, I want to keep up with current events, but I don't want it. I'm not stupid. I don't have my head in the sand, but most of what we hear today is garbage. It's so much competition out there. They've got to get the extreme so they can sell things. Don't ever do anything out of desperation. The only thing we do is desperately pray. We don't do things out of desperation. Don't allow the enemy to get the upper hand at all. When you start to feel anxiety, when you start to feel doubt, when you start to feel scared, take authority over it in Jesus' name. Be anxious for nothing. That's a command. Okay, let me suggest something. Try not being anxious. No, it says be anxious for nothing. Okay, God, I'm not going to get worried anymore. Boom, I'm not going to do it. It's just not going to happen in my house. We just don't go in that direction. You say, well, have you ever... Well, of course you have this. Everybody has a bad... Don't take a freeze frame of your life and get discouraged. Come on, somebody. Even Elijah had his cave experience. That's for another time. Don't hear the wrong thing. Doing something out of desperation. Allowing the enemy to get the upper hand. Don't do that. And then again it says, with thanksgiving, Eucharisto, an attitude of thanksgiving, knowing that your prayer is heard and knowing that your prayer is effective. And remember who you're praying to. Your request, make your request known to God. Known to God. Not known to everybody else and then God. Hey, brother, let me talk to you, man. I need money. I need money and do you know of anybody who can give me some money? Yeah, no, let's make a phone call. Hey, do you got any money? Nope, I've got no money. But I know somebody that might have. Man, make your request known to God. God, I have need. I'm your servant. I've done what's right and I'm short on money. God, I need money. Whoa. How you doing? Haven't heard from you in a while. Hey, the Lord laid on my heart. I'm sending you over a check. You mean it works? Yeah, it works. Come on. Make your request known to God. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Always pray. There it is again. And here's the different kinds of prayer. The first one, eukomeo. It's a prayer we do not realize. Nehemiah prayed the prayer. He was so taken with grief for his fellow countrymen. He prayed and God answered his prayer and sent a cupbearer as a governor of Jerusalem to get that city in order. That's another thing. Be ready to answer God when he calls you because he'll promote you. Man, this country is so much in need of leaders. We need to lead at every level. Common sense just needs to come back. Anybody with me? Common sense just needs to come back to this nation. We just need to be common sense people. We're like, wow, I can't even go there. Secondly is Euredo, diligent prayer, not pleading, it's a petition. The rich man and Lazarus to Abraham. The rich man, even though he was in pain, he began to pray diligently to God through Abraham, saying, send somebody over here. That's the kind of prayer we need to have. It's not pleading, it's not begging, but it's a petition. Third kind of prayer is diomeo, and it's intense prayer, requesting with praise and knowledge of who we are praying to. Let's never forget who we're praying to. We're praying to the Father of lights. We're praying to the Father of glory. And next is diesis. It's a prayer of supplication, and that's the violent prayer. I love it. The founder of the college I went to said, every Christian should pray a violent prayer every day. At least one violent prayer. Man, get angry with the devil. Get your hands off my relatives. Get your hands off my neighbor. Get your hands off my life. Get your hands off my finances. Get your hands off my body. Amen. In Jesus' name. I'm not going to take that anymore. The next type of prayer is entuxis, and it's an intercessory prayer. It's powerful when you stand in the gap for somebody. The scriptures say, I look for a man and stand in the gap. We confess. If you read Daniel 8, 9, and 10, Daniel confessed the sins of the nation and confessed the sins before God. We're putting in our place in harm's way, actually. We're putting ourselves in between the sin and God and crying out for the nation. We don't have enough of that. We're good at pointing the fingers. Well, this nation's a bunch of abortionists and murderers and drug addicts. And instead of standing and say, God, we have sinned against you. Intercessory prayer is taking the place of the people you're praying for. That's a powerful, powerful tool in your hand. Because your example is Christ. He was sinless and he took your sin. The next is Eucharisto and it's thanksgiving. We pray with thanksgiving. I love that. God, you mean if I ask, I thank you right away? Yeah, that's what I want you to do. You ask and you thank. And then the voice of praise, the last one, anisis, is a voice of praising. A voice of praising. And Paul says in 1 Timothy 2:8, when he's writing his letter to Timothy, says, I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Everywhere. Do not wait until it's convenient. Pray, knowing that God will answer your prayer. It's amazing to me how many times people complain about where you can't pray. I'd like you to name me a place that I can't pray. We want to go into a place and be able to stand up and make everybody angry. I want to pray. God in heaven! I'll just pray, man. He's not hard of hearing. I pray in communist China. In fact, I was in communist China and prayed. Stood on the corner and handed out 250 Chinese tracts to policemen, to soldiers. Come on, somebody. Name me a place we can't pray. People say we can't pray here. We ought to be able to pray there. Teach children. Teach people. Pray. You can pray. You don't need to shout. You don't need to. Nobody even needs to know you're praying. Who are you praying for? You praying to impress somebody? No. You're praying to the Father. It's communication with God. Amen. Not in a hateful, impatient, demanding way that's reserved for the enemy. Pray with deference to He who answers and cares for our prayers. Pray continually to the Father. That's who you're communicating with. He can hear you. And man, God allows us then to begin to partake of that prayer like we started out tonight, praying for Vera. James 5, turn over there. James 5. I like Mark 16. Jesus said, they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I love that. I've asked God about that. I've asked, was that misinterpreted? That lay hands on the sick and they might recover? Is that word supposed to be might? Come on, somebody. Is that it? Come on. Have you ever asked that question? Are you sure that's translated correctly? You can bet you it is. You can take it to the bank. It is. James chapter 5, verse 15. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. I love that word. The prayer of faith will save the sick. Not heal. Save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Why? Because of the prayer of faith. Follow that for a minute. When we pray, not only the sick are healed, they'll ask forgiveness right away. That's key. Anytime I go overseas and preach to people that have never heard the name of Jesus, when you preach and when you pray for them, when you say Jesus will heal you, and they come up and they get healed right away, they want to ask forgiveness. Right away they want Jesus in their heart. Because they understand. When they're touched with the power of God, they understand that they're unclean and they need God. There's no amount of coercion that you need to do once they're touched physically. Then it says in verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Avails much. So the effective prayer is one that prays with authority, faith, or pistis, persuasion, moral conviction, especially reliance upon Christ. God, I'm praying, I'm laying my hands, I believe God, there's not a thing that I can do without you. I'm not the healer, you're the healer, Jesus, work through me, God, in Jesus' name. See, and that authority begins to move through us, and all of us in this room have felt that at one time or another. See, save the sick, praying with assurance. The Lord, not your prayer, will raise him up. And that confessing, I might say about that, confess your sins one to another, or trespasses to one another. A word of caution. Don't be telling everybody your sins. And that doesn't mean you just blurt it out and tell everybody, hey, guess what I just did. No, confess you're struggling with sin. You don't have to be particular about it. It's exactly what I did, because you're opening yourself to attacks. Not everybody can handle it. And the enemy's right there. Confess your faults one to another. Another scripture says, confess your faults. Another translation. It's often misunderstood. Confession, not specific instances necessarily, more of an admittance of falling short. General statement that makes one equal with others. Pray for one another, a mental prayer, and also a physical praying and standing in the gap. And that fervent prayer is that word deesis. Learn to be a violent prayer. Get mad. The enemy should tremble when you get up in the morning and start to pray. Oh no, he's praying again. What are we going to do? Run! Praise God. We want to be known as a praying church. People should know you as a praying person. If they know nothing about you, they know your prayer. The greatest honor in the world is when an unsaved person comes and asks you to pray for them. Because they know you're touching God. They're closer to the kingdom than you think. Come on, somebody. Your King James Bible is more than laying on the back of the car in the window. You're speaking it out of your mouth. One of the things that blessed me about Danny, it was only a day after he had had his attack. And I was there and I'm reading scripture to him. And I'm just going through the psalm. I have my little iPad and I'm just reading through the psalms. And everything I read, he finished. I'd start reading the scripture. He'd finish that scripture and read the next three or four verses. I said, this man had the word of God hidden in his heart. Powerful. Powerful. What an example for us to follow. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that your intent is for us to be prayers. Now we exercise exactly what we just talked about. Come on, pray with me. Father, we pray, God, that you would move on this area. God, we thank you that you're blinding the eyes of the enemy. We thank you that you're casting the demons out of this area, Father. The devils that are trying to take life. Lord, we thank you, Father. We command them to go in Jesus' name. Get your hands, get your designs. We frustrate your plans right now. We frustrate your plans in Jesus' name. You have no authority in this place. You have no authority over our children, over our teens, over our young people. You have no authority in the sicknesses that are in the hospital. You have no authority in any of those areas. The only authority we recognize is that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And your knee must bow. We tell you to take your weapons and get out of here. Take whatever you think you have and get out of here. My God made a shame of you openly on a cross, triumphing over you in it. So I bind your works in Jesus' name. And I loose the Holy Spirit over this city, over this area, over this county, over Northwest Indiana. In Jesus' name, Lord, we glorify you. We thank you, God, that your intent and that your purpose is to rule and reign through us. God, and we take that. We receive your word tonight, Father. Lord, take us up another level in prayer. God, we volunteer to be your prayer warriors tonight, God. God, and we're going to see changes in the atmosphere. Yes. Father, keep doing what you're doing, God. Lord, we come into agreement with what you already have planned. For you said, Father, that you would pour your spirit on all flesh. Young men would dream dreams. Old men would see visions. On your maid servants and on your men servants, God, you would pour out your spirit. And so, God, so be it, Father. So be it. Pour out your spirit, Lord, on this place. In the precious, mighty name of Jesus. Now, Father, I pray that everything that was said tonight, if it's from anything but your word, Father, let it be forgotten. But, Lord, let your word plant seeds deep within our hearts. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.